tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Follow.
When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a wonderful, blessed week. Every day is a good day when God decides to wake you up. Amen? Amen. Are you guys ready for another Saturday of fellowship? All right then, well let's get started. Today's message is about two paths of life. And let us all bow our heads right now in prayer before we continue on with the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up today and for bringing all of us here together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your new grace, mercy, and blessings each day. Thank you for your forgiveness and unconditional love. Dear Heavenly Father, may your presence fill our hearts and minds today so that we will always be guided by your love. We pray that you would move the Spirit more boldly in each of our lives, and that our hearts and our minds will be softened and receptive to what you want us to hear today. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that sin grieves and diminishes the voice of the Spirit, so we pray against the temptation of sin. Help us to crave your presence and choose the right path. Dear Heavenly Father, excuse me. Dear Heavenly Father, please soften my heart. Use me as a vessel to get your message out to your children. And I pray that the message would be received in the hearts of those who it was meant to hear today. Let your will in our lives be done, and help us to stand back and let you do only the work that you can do in our lives. We love you in Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Thank you all for joining me in that moment of prayer. So let's begin. How many of you realize there are only two paths in this life? Oh, you may be saying right now, there are many other paths. But when it all boils down to the nuts and bolts of things, there are only two paths. There is the path of righteousness and the path of destruction. One way leads to life, and the other to death. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life." How many of you realize how important it is to choose the right path? People choose to take different paths for many different reasons. The one thing that is the same for everyone, though, the common denominator, in whatever path that we choose, is that we are seeking fulfillment and happiness. All of humanity walks along the one path or the other. Each of us have already chosen a path for ourselves. Have you ever asked yourself, where is this path that I'm currently walking on leading me? Will it lead me to where I really want to be? Has it led me to the place I thought I would be at this stage of my life? Friends, the choices we make today determine our tomorrow. That is why it is so very important to choose our path wisely. Some people make very important decisions daily, and yet they choose them carelessly. They do not look beyond today, tomorrow, or even the future. Some people do not realize there are consequences for the choices they make. We can probably all agree that there have been some decisions in our own lives that we wish we could remake, decisions that we regret, that had we only known the outcome, we would have done things so much differently. How do we make these choices? Are they based on the influence of other people? Do we make our choices based on money or our health? Do we make our choices based on opportunities? How does the will of God fit into our choices? Choices are so important because we have to live with them for the rest of our lives, folks. The truth of the matter is that whatever path you are on today is the choice that you have chosen to walk on in your life. Did you get to this path because of some godly, wise decision you made? Or did you just sort of drift onto this path that you're currently on? Jesus is very clear about what path we should be on. There is a very clear contrast between the two paths and what we should expect to find on each one of those paths. Today's message is about the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 27. Starting with verse 13, the Bible says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few will find it." We are talking about two very different gates, two very different paths. We choose one or we choose the other. We might not have even set out to travel the road that we are on right now, but somewhere along that way, we did choose to keep following it. Again, I ask you the big question: where is your choice going to lead you? Where are you going to end up? Maybe you don't know. Friends, wouldn't it be wise to think about that before choosing one path or over another? Friends, we cannot take these choices lightly. It literally means the difference between life or death for each of us. Our lives are important enough that we should be asking ourselves these very sobering questions. For instance, in the long haul, through the stages of our life, where are we going to end up? Will we spend eternity with God, or will we spend eternity in damnation? Are you on a path today that you wish you weren't? I will be talking to you today about how to get off of it if you are on that path that you don't want to be. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about watching out for false prophets. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. It goes on to say that you will know them by their fruit, the fruit that they produce. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He talks about good trees, bad trees, good fruit, bad fruit, and so on. In verses 21 through 23, the Bible talks about, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of God who is in heaven." Many will try to tell God in the end of their great deeds that they did. But in the end, God will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Then in Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it talks about good and bad foundations, foolish builders, two destinations, life and destruction. It talks about two groups of people, the few and the many. It also talks about two kinds of faith, those who believe and those that do not. The two foundations are built of rock and sand. The one house built with the rock foundation is secure, but the house built on the sand is insecure. We have two choices: righteousness or destruction. Perhaps you believe that you will choose this path right now, but then if you don't like it, later on down the road, then you can change it any time you want. Well, maybe you can, and maybe you can't. Maybe you will, and maybe you won't. Friends, I want to talk about the two different paths, and they are very different paths. And I want to talk about what each path means for our individual futures. The first path is called the broad path, or the wide gate. If you choose this lifestyle, you can choose all kinds of diversity. You can believe most anything in this world if you want to. There are no absolutes, no boundaries, so virtually anything goes. This path seems easy, and it seems that we have free choices without consequences. You can have any opinion you want, any religion. Some of the churches will give you some feel-good messages, and will never speak of the reality of hell. No one wants to hear about that. Everything is fine. On this path, everyone is kind of doing their own thing. There isn't much talk about Jesus or the Bible. We just keep moving forward. It is a life of freedom. In this lifestyle, no one worries about consequences. This lifestyle leads to a feel-good, warm, fuzzy belief system. Not only that, but it also leads to a fuzzy understanding about what's really going on in this world. This world has many distractions, many beliefs, many theories on life. But where in all of that is the truth? God's truth. In some circles, we have to really look long and hard to find a believer. Even then, sometimes, we might not find one. There was once a time, many, many, many years ago, years and years and years ago, that most everyone believed. But sadly, in these times, this is no longer true. There are many people in this world who do not know who Jesus is. And many of those same people do not own a Bible. This world is no longer the Christian nation that it used to be. People have stopped listening to the Word of God and have chosen to go their own way and to practice other things. Friends, I'm here to tell you, this crowd is getting bigger and bigger every day. It has become, quite literally, a free-for-all. All people want to do is to do what they want to do, as they want to do it, when they want to do it. In this world, in their personal lives, people can experiment in relationships and float from one to another. People don't want others or God telling them what they should or should not be doing or thinking. Today's society does not want to live by rules. Folks, it is your choice, and you can do whatever you want. We are all grown adults here. But be warned, there will be consequences. Just because you don't see any of those consequences of your actions right now does not mean in any way, shape, or form that you have gotten a free pass. I will tell you, though, that this kind of lifestyle leads to complete separation from God eternally. The Bible calls this place of separation hell. No one likes to talk about it, but it is a fact, and it is a very real place. On this broad path, you may have everything you want, or you think you do. Money, freedom, a certain tailor-made-to-suit-you kind of lifestyle. But it does not include true joy, true peace, or true happiness. You may believe it does right now, but if that is true, then why do you always need more and more? Why is it that we still feel lacking and unsatisfied with what we have? The broad path is living a life of insecurity. At any moment, everything you have worked so hard for in your life could be ripped away from you in the blink of an eye. You have no assurance, nothing to be confident of. This is the path that Satan walks, and he encourages each of us to stay on that path with him. He tells us all kinds of lies, and we buy into them. God loves each of us, and he tries to keep us off of that path, because God knows where this path will lead us. But if we insist on having things our own way, God is not going to stop us. We will eventually suffer the consequences of our own actions if we choose to follow the darkness. Have you ever noticed that places like jail or nightclubs will turn their lights down real low? Folks, that is scriptural. In Proverbs 4:19, the Bible tells us the wicked walk around in darkness. This is because they have shut Christ out of their lives. In John 3:19 and 20, the Bible tells us people love the darkness more than the light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who practices evil hates light. They will not come out in the light for fear of their deeds being exposed. Jesus said, "I am the light." When Jesus left, we then became the light for the lost. What happens if you don't believe in God? What happens when you're breathing your last breath? Friends, let me tell you, you're going to want somebody to tell you the truth, and tell you the truth fast. The broad path is also a path of disappointment. It is another deliberate contrast between dark and light. You cannot live in the light of God and live a life of disappointment, unhappiness, and discontent. God is love, joy, peace, and happiness. You can't change sin. Sin is sin. There are no big sins or little sins. There is just sin. One form of sin isn't any better or worse than the next. God doesn't look on the person sitting in the jail cell having committed some horrible crime any different than he looks upon the neighbor next door who's cheating on their spouse. Sin is sin, and God hates sin. You will never change God's mind about that. Maybe you're sitting there today saying, "Well, what I'm doing isn't sinful. Or if it is, I don't know it." Friends, some small part of you does recognize that what you are doing is not the right thing. You are trying to convince yourself that it's not true, but listen. You are sitting there trying to change God's mind also about what He clearly and absolutely states in the Bible. God does not hate the sinner, but He hates the sin because of what that sin does to His children. In Mark 8:34-37, the Bible says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whatever so wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." Then it goes on to say, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Friends, if you are walking around on this broad path, you are foolish. You're foolish to keep walking on it. In complete disobedience to God, knowing that it leads to destruction. Why would you do that? Why? Why would you do that to yourself? If you believe that sometime your life is going to get better, let me be bold with you right now. It's not going to. It will only get worse because you'll get so caught up in that lifestyle that you're in, that broad lifestyle. You'll remain there in bondage to your own sin. You will end up digging a bigger and bigger hole for yourself. Jesus only speaks the truth. He's warning us in these verses to take heed, turn back, choose the righteous, the narrow path. He's warning us of this so that our lives will be spared. Broad roads lead to trouble. The smooth path, the easy path, that leads to danger. As you go along this path from beginning to end, You are sowing little seeds of trouble all along the way, a little bit every day. And one day, it will mount up to some irreversible damage. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, there are unpleasant consequences to our ungodly actions. God's law applies to all of us, and no one can escape. If we sow the wind, then we will reap the whirlwind. Amen? Let me say that again. If we sow the wind, then friends, we will reap the whirlwind. And I would be willing to bet that some of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. And upon that note, I'm going to go to a short break. So stretch some legs and join me back here in a few moments. You won't want to miss this last half of the message. We will be talking about that second pass.
With all my heart, I worship you.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. For those of you who are just tuning in, I'm happy you decided to do so today. Later on after the show, my podcast will be uploaded to www.shazizradio.com. And if you are just tuning in, I hope you will go back and listen to the other half that you've missed. And as always, friends, please share these messages. You never know. Someone you share the message with might really need to hear it, and it might just change their lives in such a profound way. So let's link arms in getting the Word of God out there to as many people as possible. Today's message is about two paths of life. The first half of today's message has been talking about the broad or the easy path. And now, in the second half of the message, we will be talking about the second path, the narrow path, where there are few. Let's go back to Matthew 7:13-14. The Bible says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for this gate is small. The way is narrow, it leads to life, and there are few who will find it." This means that comparatively speaking, compared to the population of the lost in this world, there will be few Christians who find the narrow gate. It is our job to get the knowledge of Christ out to as many people as we possibly can. Satan is the god with the little g of the world. He is the little g god who rejects Christ. For the rest of us, Satan is still there, but if we trust in Christ, he is defeated. When we choose to follow Christ, then Satan loses all authority over us. The second path, the narrow one, can be lonely, since only a few will find the gate. The believers will always be outnumbered unless there is some divine intervention in this world. The narrow way means that you don't have a mixture. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You don't have a little bit of this is okay and a little bit of that is okay. You don't have a mixture of lifestyles or attitudes. God has already wrote the instruction manual for right living. It is a disciplined lifestyle made up of people who are created uniquely, but all striving for the same goal, the same prize, all having different gifts to contribute to the kingdom work. If you want to live a godly life, there are just certain things that you do not allow in your life. There are things that parents allow into their homes when their children are small. And then, when their children grow up, the parents wonder what happened to their kids and why they act as they do. Well, let's step back a moment and think about that. Did you use language that was inappropriate? Did you let them watch anything they wanted to on television? Did you allow them to play violent video games? Did you show any interest in their lives, or did these electronics babysit them for you? Did you allow them to make up their own schedule, set their own bedtimes, their own curfews? Did you allow them to get caught up in the wrong crowd for friends? How did you and your spouse treat one another in front of the children? If any of this hits close to home, then what did you expect would happen, folks? There wasn't any consistency or higher expectancy of their life. No ground rules as they grew up. These children had no discipline to speak of, no moral boundaries. These children have been misguided. The narrow way is the way of the few. The Bible is our guidance. It's a boundary to stop us from wandering off of the path. Of course, believers still often suffer in this fallen world, but we have to keep our eyes focused on what God's Word tells us. Don't give up or give in to this world. Life on the narrow path is one of serving God rather than ourselves. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. Our lives are not pointless. In Romans 8:28, we are reminded, "All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." The broad path is so deceptive, folks. It feels good, it feels free, you're getting what you want for the moment, and you are among a huge crowd of people. You think you feel happy, you think you feel satisfied, you think you feel content, but the narrow path is narrow, and few will find it. The narrow path is the way of wisdom. How do you want to walk out your life? The Proverbs are all about ways of how to live out our life wisely. In Proverbs 4:10 through 14, the Bible tells us, "Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom, and I lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the ways of the evildoers." Friends, this is pretty intense. We need to be listening to this. This is what God is saying. He says, "I have directed you in wisdom. Whether you heard it or not, I have directed you." He has provided us with all the wisdom that we need to make the choices we make. But it is up to us whether we take heed of what God has said. Friends, reading Proverbs 4:10 through 14, it can't be any clearer. This is what God has said. There's nothing easy about living a godly life, but God will be right by our side all the whole way. And He alone will make our crooked paths straight if we wish to stay on the narrow path. You don't see all the glamour and the lights on the narrow path that you see on the broad path. But I can tell you, the narrow path is worth it. I know for many, the narrow path doesn't seem like it's much fun. But I tell you what, those of us who walk the narrow path, there's a lot of fun too. It's just the right kind of fun. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me." Some of you out there may be saying, "Well, I just don't believe it." Folks, who else is going to deal with your sin? Maybe you're saying, "Well, I don't sin." Friends, let me be bold again. That is your opinion. Go back and read your Bible. God promises to guide us all into the truth, the real truth. This is found in John 16:13. This all truth is an understanding that comes from outside of ourselves. Confessing our sins is not enough, especially when we turn around next week and we do the very same thing again and again and again. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross, shedding his blood as the ultimate final sacrifice so that we could be reconciled back to our Heavenly Father. Jesus paid our price for sin. That, my folks, is true love. Love is the most important attribute we develop as we walk the narrow path. When Jesus laid down his life on the cross for our sins, that satisfied the requirements of our debt, our penalty for sin, with God. So when we trust God, we confess that he is our Lord and Savior, our personal Lord and Savior. It's more than just confessing. It's more than just confessing, yeah, I believe in Jesus. It means that you are surrendering your life to God. You have confessed, you accept God's forgiveness. Not because we deserve it, but because God first loved you. And you accept, and that you accept Jesus died on the cross for your sins. When we die, there is no escape from judgment. We want to make sure we have trusted in Jesus and have stayed on the narrow path. Because when we stand before God, we stand there freely. And we best have made things right before that day and lived the life that God intended us to live. The narrow path constrains us to live moral lives, good lives, purposeful lives. Friends, you don't want to stand before God one day and hear him say to you, "Truly, truly I say to you, I don't know you." You don't want to spend eternity completely separated from God, spending eternity in hell because you spent your life rejecting the Son of God. Some of you out there might be thinking this is a joke, but it's not. It's the real deal. And on your judgment day, you'll find that out. Hell is a lonely place of the worst kind of misery. Friends, we can't even wrap our minds around how bad hell is. Hell is described in the Bible as a place of everlasting punishment, a place for the souls of the wicked. In Matthew 13:42, the Bible talks about a fury furnace, and they will be thrown into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks, I hope you are mentally imagining this. As I'm speaking this, I hope you're getting a clear vision. You're really listening and trying to envision what hell is like. Death by fire was the severest punishment under Jewish law. And it was only inflicted for the most shameful of sins. Hell is described as a place of no rest in Revelations 14:11. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. Hell is a place of condemnation. Judgment Day is the day that you will have to account for every careless word you have uttered out of your mouth your entire life. And by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. There will be much destruction, evidence of the unbelieving. Destruction means loss or ruin. There will be eternal separation from God's presence. There will be complete and absolute outer darkness. The Bible describes hell as the eternal suffering. Eternal. Going on and on forever and ever into infinity. It should be a sobering reminder of what awaits those who choose the broad path. Suffering in hell will be intense anguish, my friends. People sent there are completely isolated from everything and everyone they have ever known or loved. And they will come to realize very quickly that they have been permanently cut off from God and everything that is good. But by then, it will be too late to make changes or to have a change of heart. Whatever your reason for rejecting God, it will not have been worth the outcome, spending eternity in hell. Just as wrong actions on the broad path lead to bad consequences, so a life of good actions on the narrow path lead to many blessings. For example, if we give, we are given back even more. If we have a good spirit, then our health benefits. If we trust in God, we have peace. The narrow path is choosing to commit our way, our life, to God and trusting Him, His plan for our life, believing that His ways are far better for us than what we could possibly imagine for ourselves. It is a life full of rewards and blessings. And at the end of our path, at the end of our life, we will again be rewarded for how well we have walked that path. We will also be reunited with all of our loved ones who have passed before us. God has went before us and prepared a place for each one of us so that we can have everlasting life alongside Him. Friends, I cannot stress to you enough about the importance of choosing your path wisely. If you find yourself on the right path or the wrong path right now, turn around as fast as you can. Do not hesitate and go find the narrow path because you won't regret it. There is no time to waste. Please join me in this closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your guidance. Forgive us for getting ahead of your plan. Help us to know when to stop and to listen for your direction. Your ways are always perfect. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to be strong and to stand against all attacks of evil. Even in these times when the thing of this world attempt to stand between our choices. We pray against the temptation to sin. You and you alone are our compass. Lead us in the way that you would have us to go. Even when our path is dim, let your truth, your light, let it light our way. You alone are our lighthouse. In the crashing waves, during all the storms that we encounter, you are our rock, and in you, Lord, we will trust. We thank you in advance for our answered prayers. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Thank you once again for joining me here on the Hope Show. I challenge each of you to keep this message close to your heart this week. Do some real soul searching. Ask yourself some very hard questions. Are you where you should be with God? Which path are you on? How do you feel about the path you are currently on? Where do you want to spend eternity when Judgment Day comes? Friends, I can't answer these questions for you. But it would seem to me that the wisest choice would be to follow God. But I can't speak for the way you process things in your own mind, because I'm not you. But all I'm saying is please give it a lot of thought and make your choice with care. I hope to one day rejoice in heaven with all of you out there, so that we can meet face to face, and what a glorious day that will be. But for now, I'm happy you've tuned in with me today on The Hope Show. So, until we meet again, same time, same place, next week, may God bless you and watch over each and every one of you and protect you. I love you.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Redemption's here, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured.
Spirit.